Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, relationships, and even your career. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a wonderful resource called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book that shows you the significance of the 15 stops Jesus made on the road to Calvary. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Word of Forgiveness.
Once a year, I sit down, at least once a year, and I do what I call a personal moral inventory. It's one of the steps we do in recovery. And I just sit down and I say, okay, God, give me a list of everything between me and you, and give me a list between me and everybody else. What's the stuff that's the sticking point? What's the sin, the failure, the mistake, the problem, the difficulty? What's the bad habit? What's the wrong attitude? And I just sit still, and I'll just make a list. And sometimes that list is quite long. And this is the power of confessing to God. As I start by admitting it, you make a personal moral inventory. Say, God, what's the things in my life that are blocking fellowship with you? Why don't I feel so joyful anymore? Why don't I feel so enthusiastic anymore? Why don't I feel close to you anymore? And then what's the stuff between me and my wife or me and my kids? What's the stuff between me and the people I work with? And you admit it. You got to write it down. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. So here's what I would highly recommend you do this week. This is a good time to do it. Just get alone with God, get a blank sheet of paper, maybe a little yellow pad, and a pencil or pen, and just say, ask God to bring to mind anything in your life that needs to be confessed. And then just write it down. Now, nobody's gonna see this list. Right now, you're just going to write it all down. You're unconsciously guilty about. And you make a list of all the faults that come to mind. You take your time. You say, why do I need to write it down? Why can't I just think about it? Can I just think about it? No, you can't. Something about writing it down on paper makes it specific. Francis Bacon said, reading makes a broad man, writing makes a specific man. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. When you can say it and you can write it, then you've really thought about it. But if you just think about it in your mind, it's not serious. So write it. It forces you to be specific. Now, once you admit it, you're ready for the second step. And it's this: accept responsibility. That's the second step. It means I'm not gonna blame anybody else. They may be 99% at fault and I'm 1% at fault. All I'm gonna deal with is my 1% right now. I'm not dealing with your problem, your sin, your hang up. I'm dealing with me. I accept responsibility. And again, I don't rationalize it, say, well, it happened so long ago and I don't blame others, it was mostly their fault. And you know, I don't minimize it, I don't make excuses. You know, one day, King David had a moral failure in his life. And he looked out of his palace and he sees a beautiful, gorgeous, nude woman bathing on her roof. Is that where you ought to be bathing? On your roof? Knowing that the palace can look down on you? Well, okay. No, obviously. And when David saw her, as you know, it eventually led to adultery and murder. And she got pregnant with David's child, and David murdered, or had her husband murdered. And when David writes out his moral inventory, it's called Psalm 51, if you ever want to read it. Psalm 51 is David's moral inventory and confession of sin after his adultery with Bathsheba. In that, he doesn't blame Bathsheba for 1% even. He takes it all on himself. Fine. Did Bathsheba have to say yes to David? No. She did not. But David doesn't blame her for the affair. He just takes it on himself. And in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says this, I recognize my faults and I am conscious of my sins. Now, what is the best way to ensure that you have accepted responsibility for the dumb things you've done in your life? What's the best way to do that? Now, it's going to shock you. I told you it's simple, but it's not easy. The best way to accept responsibility is to tell one other person. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. My deepest, darkest, dirtiest secret. Yeah. Now, you don't go tell a gossip, and you certainly don't tweet about it. Okay? That's not what you find somebody who's going to be a friend, who's going to love you unconditionally. That's what a friend does. A friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A friend is somebody who can listen to your worst sin and will still love you. And everybody needs one person in their life like that. And admit your fault to another person. In fact, God says this is an essential key to letting go of guilt. James 5, let me stop right here. Many of you have confessed your sins to God and you still feel guilty because you haven't done this step. You have confessed your sin to God over and over and over and over and over, and you still feel guilty. But you've never told one other person. Here's what God says, James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another. Doesn't say to God, to one another. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. Circle the word healed. Now, let me explain this. If you want to be forgiven for the stuff you've done wrong, all you need to do is tell God. But if you want to be healed of the negative emotions, you need to tell one other person. Say it again. If all you do is want to be forgiven, you just need to tell God. But you'll still be haunted by your own emotions. If you want to be set free, you need to tell one other person. Write it down and tell one other person. Jesus says, or the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other, that you may be healed. How many times have I said this? Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You say, I don't want to do that. Then you want to carry the guilt the rest of your life. Fine. And you can take it out on your, if you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on your body. And when you swallow your negative emotions, your stomach keeps score. People say, oh, my aching back. Oh, my aching neck. Oh, my aching stomach. Wonder where that's at. I said, well, maybe it's because what's eating you. God says, admit your faults to each other that you may be healed. Now, why do I need to drag one other person into this? I'll tell you why. And get this, it's simple to say, but it's profound in its meaning. The root of all our problems are relational. You say, no, this is just between me and God. No, it wasn't. The root of all our problems are relational. You are reacting still to relationships in your life that you didn't like. Today, you're still reacting to relationships you didn't like. And those relationships may have been a long, long time ago, but they're still pushing you in a direction that you don't want to go. And as your pastor who loves you and care for you, I'm telling you that the root of your problem is relational. And we're all dishonest with each other, and we play games, and we wear masks, and we pretend. Write this down. Here's another one to write down. We've talked about this before. I'm only as sick as my secrets. I'm only as sick as my secrets. Secrets make us sicker. And we hold them on. The way we get healed, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. And because we are not honest with each other. We're not only not honest with God, we're not honest with each other. We're dishonest. We play games, we wear masks, we pretend we have it all together. It isolates us from each other. It causes fear, prevents intimacy, creates insecurity. If they really knew me, they'd reject me. Everybody needs at least one person in their life they can be totally honest with. It's God's way of freeing us. That's why you need a small group. You're most likely to find that person in a small group. So I admit it, I accept responsibility, and there are only three steps to getting rid of guilt. Here's the third one. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. There are so many promises in the Bible about forgiveness if you'll take these three steps. 1 John 1:9 is the most famous one. If we admit, if we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable. Notice it doesn't say, if we freely admit we've sinned, we find God utterly punishing, utterly mad, utterly angry. It doesn't say that. It says, when we admit to God we've sinned, that makes God happy, not sad. A lot of people think, well, if I admit to God, God's gonna be mad at me, as if he doesn't already know. No, he knows, he just wants you to admit that you know and you recognize that was wrong, what I did. Please put the verse back up there again. If we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable. He forgives your sins and he makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. So I ask for forgiveness. Now there's even a right way to ask for forgiveness and there's a wrong way. Let me tell you the wrong way to ask for forgiveness. First, don't beg. Oh God, please, 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 pretty please with sugar on it, cherry on top. Oh God, please, 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 please. Like God is unwilling to forgive you. No, he's more willing to forgive you than you are willing to admit it. God is more willing to forgive you than you're willing to admit it. You don't have to bribe or bargain or beg God. You don't bribe and say, God, if you'll forgive me, then I'll do this good work. You don't bargain. God, if you forgive me, I'll never do it again. God said, yeah, you're right. You'll be back there in another day or so. Forgiveness does not change the future. It clears up the past. That's another episode we need to deal with later on in this series. But you don't beg. You don't need to. God wants to forgive you. You don't bargain. I'll never do it again. You don't bribe. Well, God, I promise I'll tithe 20%. No, just ask. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this. All of us have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his mercy freely, circle the word freely, freely, you don't have to bargain, bribe, beg, freely takes away all our sins. Now, notice it says, if you just trust, if we just trust in Jesus Christ. He said, but Rick, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I could tell you this, what matters is what Jesus has done for you. That's what the cross is all about. We said that when we look at the cross, Jesus hangs on the cross, and the first thing he says is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So the first message of good news, the first word of love from the cross is the word of forgiveness. And when you come to God humbly, honestly, admitting, accepting, and asking, God says, Father, forgive them. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He comes, his immediate response is forgiveness. Now, you may be saying, you know, I've done that, Rick. I've asked God over and over and over to forgive me, but I don't feel forgiven. Well, let me just say a couple things. You don't have to ask over and over and over and over and over. When you ask over and over and over, you're acting like God didn't hear you the first time. When you ask over and over and over, you're saying, I don't really believe you forgave me. That's a sin. I don't really believe you forgave me, so I'm going to ask again. Because I haven't forgiven myself, I'm gonna ask again. The problem isn't God. The problem is you haven't confessed it to another person and let it go.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. As Jesus made his way to Calvary, on the road called Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. It will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful, glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You'll want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is available only through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, and if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to introduce you to Agatha, who's translating Daily Hope into German for her husband. She writes, "Pastor Rick, your preaching is bringing many souls to God. My husband, who is an unbeliever, is drawing closer and closer to God. Every day I translate what I hear on Daily Hope into German because he can't speak and understand English. Pastor Rick, your teaching has changed his life, and I can see his progress and eagerness to follow Jesus. Agatha." Well, Agatha, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. This is a wonderful story to hear that you're translating what you hear on Daily Hope for your husband and that he's growing closer to Jesus. I'm so happy for that. We're always looking for translators to help us in new languages as we take the message of God to more people around the world. So you will keep praying for your husband, and you keep praying for us that God allows us to take the good news of God's hope all around the world.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.